Welcome to Native Yoga Toddcast. My name is Todd McLaughlin, and I will be your host. If you would like to learn more about our upcoming live stream yoga classes, workshops, teacher trainings, and or our online yoga studio, please visit us at nativeyogacenter.com. Thank you. Sit back, relax, and we hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome, everybody. I'm really excited to have my friend Scott Ferguson here today in studio for my first official in-person podcast session. Scott, thank you so much for joining me today.
Todd, thank you for having me. I'm so blessed, privy. This is fantastic, man. Great setup you're having here.
Well, thank you. I you have your own podcast channel called Time to Shine Today. Can you give me the full website?
Yeah, it's timetoshinetoday.com, and I usually tell people timetoshinetoday.com/podcast, because it's a very podcast-driven site.
Nice. So, yeah. What do you focus on your show?
What we do is we're all about, we don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one, because a little bit about my past, it really sprung me forward to be able to give great content and make it readily available for people out there. Interview I've did, which I was lucky and privy enough to have you on as well, Todd, was really to help people level up in different aspects, from anything from health and fitness, including yoga, to coaching, to therapists and whatnot. I interview people on basically it's kind of a job interview for them, in a sense, because what I do is I do a lot of marketing to bring people into the Time to Shine Today family for coaching. And I'm not exactly the right coach for them on a lot of different topics. So I put people together with the right coach, and then we work out an affiliate agreement with that coach that if I send them somebody that they can help and they get employed by them, then they pay me a little bit of money. So we're really a conduit between people that are looking to level up and people that will help them level up.
Awesome.
So that's our...
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's a great podcast. I love listening to it. You do an incredible job.
Appreciate it.
I'm really excited to have you here, because I feel like we had a chance to meet from the yoga angle.
Yes.
And you started practicing Ashtanga here. Mm-hmm. It's been quite a while now. I want to say, like, are we in the 9 to 10 year realm ago?
Not that it might feel like it sometimes. But I actually first came in here November 14th of 2015. So
we're
coming up on five years.
So I was pushing,
changed my life. I had an assistant that was in our office, Shannon. I believe she moved up to the Carolinas now.
That's right.
But, you know, I had a terrible plantar fasciitis. I had a bunch of inflammation in my body, and I would always see her doing yoga in the office. And then, like, she's like, Scott, or, you know, she called me Fergie. She's like, Fergie, you've got to try it. She's like, go to my studio in Juneau Beach here. And I was like, well, absolutely. And I came in, and within probably 3 weeks, my plantar fasciitis went away, my weight dropped, blood sugar regulated, allows me to function at a high level. I don't get into the studio as much as I really need to, but I built my own studio in my place with my mats, nice. My blocks, and whatnot. And I'm still only probably halfway through the primary series of Ashtanga, but that's somebody, you know, if I know we're on sound right now, but I'm 6'1", I'm 260. So it's not like I'm, you know, that guy that can get all around, but for my size, I'm as flexible as you could probably get, for lack of a better term. And it allows me to really focus and hone in on my day while giving gratitude as well to my body.
That's awesome.
So love,
Scott.
Love the yoga.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, man, of course. I remember when you first came in, I was really excited, because I feel like you were like going, I really want to do this. Right. Do you think I can?
Right.
And the answer is yes. What's amazing is anybody can. How do you structure your self-practice currently in terms of, you've memorized the half primary series. Mm-hmm. Do you seek out any like resources to help you along, or do you feel like, where do you get most of your motivation these days to, because that's what I'm really impressed about, is that you've been able to maintain a mm-hmm. home practice. And something I find with the Ashtanga method is really incredible is that once you learn it, right. if you have that motivation, you right. really can just do it on your own. What keeps you motivated?
Well, what keeps me motivated is gratitude for my body, and basically being able to wake up You know, I competed in combat sports my whole life, and to be able to wake up and flip my legs out of bed and stand up and knowing that yoga is an integral part, Ashtanga yoga is an integral part for me to be able to feel that way. So I don't ever not want to feel that way. So I know that to do it, the discipline's got to be there to ramp up and do it. And I don't look at yoga as something I have to do. Mm. It's something I get to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I wake up and I'm pumped up. You're asking about resources. You handed me a piece of paper that said David Swenson, right?
Yeah.
Did I get it right?
Correct.
David Swenson's yoga book, in which you and I had a great conversation over kind of how that really didn't go over in the early times when he actually brought a book out, you know, modifying poses, which I thought that was fantastic. And you had him on your podcast. I listened to that, which is fantastic. So, you know, I use his book really only because I have all the blocks and all that stuff to modify it to fit for me. Yes. Now, I could be taking it to next levels. I know that I could, but I don't want to, in a sense, where you are, you know, you're doing back bends for every year you were born and stuff like that. I don't have a want to do that. What I want to do is I want to feel good. You know, I'm coming up, I'm 50 years old. I want to continue to, you know, operate at a very high level, which we say at Time to Shine today, leveling up, you know, always want to level up. So there's really no, can I get to do it? There's no like, oh man, I got to get up and do it. Don't get me wrong, Todd. I mean, I get mornings where I'm just not feeling it, but I just know that when I'm done with my 30 or so minutes, you know, four mornings a week.
Yep.
Good.
That's cool, man. I hear you. That's awesome. Like the benefits are coming from the feeling that you're getting in the practice. That's what motivates you. Awesome, man. Well, can you give us a little bit of your background in terms of military?
Yeah. You know what? Like my story really starts when I was young, if you don't mind me. And the reason why that I have the time to shine today. But, you know, I was born in 1972 during the Vietnam War. And it was during, and I was born in the Philippines. My mother was Filipino. My father was an American GI who got killed in the war. And at the time, bastard male children that were being born were actually taken from the mothers because the Philippines was afraid, if you know any Filipinos, and there's nothing against them, but the regular Filipino is about 5'5", like 140 pounds. You know, the mixed breeds that were going over there, like, you know, being born like myself, we grow huge, you know? I mean, even you would be huge there, Todd. I mean, you're pretty well put together, but you'd be huge there. So basically, they were taking the babies and taking them to Spain, because the Philippines is owned by, you know, Spaniard Islands, or, you know, by Spain. It's a Spaniard island. So no one really knows what happened to those male babies after that time. I don't know. They don't know if they've been adopted out or what really happened to them. So luckily I was picked up, by an Air Force couple that was in the other room having a baby. And they're like, boom, they took me too. Wow. Okay. So they brought me back to the United States. And then the lady who was adopting me was, her father became sick. Father died and she became schizophrenic, couldn't raise me, couldn't even raise the other child that they had. And so they dropped me at an orphanage. And I lived in an orphanage for a few years out in California. I had a temporary passport. They were going to ship me back to the Philippines. But there was a lot of families back then. And this is the 70s, Todd. So like white people with white people. And I know we're on video, or not on video here, but, you know, I'm not white, you know, and I ended up getting adopted finally by a white hillbilly family, you know, and it was quite an experience growing up where my father was a Vietnam vet. He's my best friend now, and he doesn't mind me telling the story, but he's a Vietnam vet, heavy drinker. So there was not so much abuse, but neglect. Got a lot of that. Anyways, as we move forward, I was abandoned. Like he couldn't raise me. So I lived with a bunch of different families growing up. And as I moved into it, I kind of went through life, lost a scholarship because I decided a 1.8 grade point average was going to be my thing. And, you know, so scholarships went bye-bye. So I went in the military. And the military, I found a family, found a meeting, found a place. And I did a bunch of operations over in Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia. This was in the early 90s. And just really built a team concept within me, but I still had that abandonment lingering in the background. So when I got out of the military, I built businesses, was not very nice to people, treated them like utter crap, And then, you know, I lost everything. You know, I'm a man of faith. So God's like, dude, we're going to put you in check right now. This is 08, 09 when the market crashed. And at that time, really, lack of a better term, had a come to Jesus moment where we, you know, I lost everything, literally. I don't know if you're familiar with what a short sale is, but if you own a house that you owe $500,000 on and it's only worth $250,000, you know, that's what was the big thing back then. Yeah. And I had a client that I had listed a house, and they moved to Florida. I actually lived in their house and squatted while I had it listed.
Oh, man.
But I was handed a couple books that really changed my life, The Traveler's Gift by Andy Andrews and Bob Berg's Go Giver, and just really start implementing those into my life. And the Go Giving really leveled forward it with Time to Shine Today. So that's where it was born. It was born in 2010, Time to Shine Today.
Yes.
So that's, I know it's a little long-winded, but it gives people a perspective of why I want to help people. Because there were people that came into my life that I didn't even ask for. They just were there and then took action on it. So.
Yeah. Wow, that's a really, I've never heard all of that story, much of it, going back to your childhood and being adopted. And I think one thing I'm extremely impressed and feel a lot of adoration or admiration for the military and for you doing service. And can you give us an idea of what it was like being on tour overseas? I feel like we get plenty of movies in America or, you know, about what it's like. And did you have any situations when you were serving that could have lent toward, I guess I want to bring up PTSD or anything?
Oh, absolutely. I suffered from it. I still do. I still see a counselor once a month at the VA hospital. That's one of the reasons why I kind of moved to West Palm, is because of their mental hygiene clinic. It's fantastic. Wow. It's beautiful place, beautiful building. And I have Dr. Gold is just amazing, and Dr. Samano, who is my psychologist. So I don't, you know, a lot of people that come back, they want to feel like they can handle it. So yes, to answer your question, I was put into a couple hard target situations, but it wasn't, I didn't feel it then. I was just like, you know, I was in my early 20s and I was excited and I got to go out and, you know, serve my country. But when you come back, and I think it comes across with anybody that's really in any profession that has a, where their adrenaline's flowing a lot. And if you don't have that adrenaline flowing as much, you either look for it with drugs or you suffer from it through the PTSD. And I suffer for it from years, man, you know, and I just would take all of that energy and that pent up aggression and put it into business. And I wasn't in business to service people. I was in the business to service myself. I was a vulture. I preyed on other people's misfortunes at the time. And again, like I said, I got put in check. So yeah, but the military, also, I have friends and family that I call family that I would never, ever give that up for anything. I mean, we have, in living in South Florida, Todd, I get a lot of visitors.
Yeah.
You know, because I grew up in Detroit. So I have a lot of visitors, and a lot of them are guys that I served with, which will come down periodically, starting kind of now, because this is the middle end of October, and, you know, to May. So I get a lot of that, which is just, it's great to just, reconvene and have family.
Yeah, man, I hear you. That's got to be huge. I think that to have a camaraderie of other folks that you've been through some serious stuff together and you could actually relate like that. How do you, in the process of doing your podcast and coaching, do you come across people that you feel like really do need some help, that like where you actually get, where they reach out a little bit more than you feel like you can help? You had made mention that at the beginning of our discussion, like if I'm not the right person to help them, that you're able to maybe help them find a resource. Does that happen often? Is that something that you find on a regular basis?
Well, I make it that way through my marketing. I spend quite a bit of money a month to bring people into the Time to Shine Today coaching family. And my family is people like yourself and other people that I've interviewed, to be able to put those people with them. So I probably spend $100 a day just on bringing people in through either Facebook ads or SEO, looking to level up their health, wealth, or mindset. And so that way I'm able to, I'm not going to say pass them off, but I'm not qualified. I'm not the, we say, you know, you got to have the right horse for the course. You know, I'm the guy that will one-on-one coach CEOs, CFOs, people that are hard chargers, full of ego, because I was that way, and I can still be that way, and I can deflate that side for them in a constructive way to help them level up and kind of turn the corner of service, but while still having that shark mentality that they don't want to go away from. Right. You know, so I'm good for those people.
That's interesting.
I'm not good for 95% of the people out there, but my whole passion is we don't want to have anyone to feel like they have no one. So I want to make sure that I'm staying in front of the cream of the crop. And understandably, like, you know, you would love to have Tony Robbins, Gary Vaynerchuk, all those people come on and be on the podcast, which, you know, they're scheduled, which is awesome for me, right? But I want to coach, or I want to bring people on that are everyday people, for lack of a better term, to be able to help other everyday people level up and take them to that level. So it's awesome, you know, and now we're getting inundated with people coming in and wanting to be interviewed. So I'm not searching anymore for interviews. Don't get me wrong. If someone comes across and I'm like, boom, I want them.
Yep.
I will do everything I can to get them on.
Yep.
But now we're getting people with requests. We have people that are agents for people reaching out to me saying, hey, I would like to have so-and-so come on your show. And now I have a paywall that's set up, which is a donation to suicide prevention. So now the people that are coming on have to donate $50 to the suicide prevention lifeline.
Nice.
And I just make that, I'm like, if you want to come on, this is what I really, it's $50, man. I lost my brother to suicide in 2009.
Oh, man.
So it's like, it's something that's important to me. And I'm, you know, we've raised, you know, not they never donate just $50. It's minimum 100 usually. And I had a guy last night, which it was awesome. I saw the text where he donated $3,000.
Wow.
You know, to come on the show.
Yeah. Yes.
And he did it. So it's you know, it's the whole part about Time to Shine today is we give until it hurts so good. You know, that's what we do. We give a ton of free content. Todd, you came on and gave a free masterclass about Ashtanga yoga and yoga just in itself and what it can do for people. And that's what it is it's free. You know, we keep the episodes at 30 minutes because it keeps people's attention. What happens, Todd, is people will reach out to the Time to Shine Today family, and I give them an 11-page questionnaire to fill out. So if they're serious about getting coaching, they're going to fill this out. So they fill out my questionnaire, and then I look at it and go, okay, there's four podcasts that I've did with people that I think would fit this questionnaire, and I send those four podcasts to the person looking for the coaching. I say, listen to these four podcasts. Now, selfishly, it gets me listens, right?
Yeah.
But it also gives, like, it's each 30-minute interview is almost like a job interview for the coaches for them. If you remember, I don't ask just about what you do. I ask about who you are and as a person, Todd. I really drive that through.
Yeah.
You know, so people that are looking for coaching are seeing that going, wow, man, yeah, this person relates to me.
Yeah,
you know, I ask questions like, what's your definition of life? Well, live? How do you want your legacy? Remember, stuff like that. And people, you know, you ask those questions and it makes people think, and the real person comes out.
Yeah.
You know, someone that's not really a giver, they're just there for themselves. It's going to come out in my interview.
Yes.
You know, so, and those are the people that generally are not getting the people to pick them for coaching. So yeah, man, it's all about give. And then my payday, if for lack of a better term, comes when I send the coach and then they work out an affiliate agreement with me and say, okay, so he's paying me $1,000 a month. I'll pay you $100 a month, the Time to Shine Today.
Yeah.
Now we've generated since December 19th of last year, just under $700,000 in coaching commissions for coaches. Now I get 10% of that. So I've made a heck of a living through podcasting.
It's amazing. I know I've been watching you from when you started, because where are we, like, in about a year? Has it been about a year since
December 19th will be a year.
So yeah, it hasn't even been ten months now. Mm-hmm. And I love podcasting.
Yeah.
And I've been watching you just going, man, you're an inspiration.
I appreciate it. You know, I mean, I have other people that I, like you, that I watch and see what they do. And I pick up a step. And my podcast is nothing more than picking up steps from probably 20 different podcasters. You know what I'm saying? Okay, this is their intake form. This is their questionnaire. This is their show notes. This is everything else. And I just put it in. I'm tweaking it every day. It's weird. It's like I see it. And I have two awesome interns, you know, Donnie and Tiffany, thank you very much if you're listening, over at Palm Beach State, you know, that are awesome. So that's, I get cool. all of that work done for free.
Yeah.
The show is sponsored at $275 a show, so I get that for every show.
Nice.
Which pays my interns, even though they're supposed to not be getting paid. I still pay them. But I also have, you know, an agency that helps me grow, which I can put some of that sponsorship money towards them. And the kicker that we're coming up on 360,000 downloads, listens, is that I'm putting a lot of the shows, which yours will eventually as well, we're taking a lot of that sponsorship money and we're putting it on terrestrial radio, AM, FM. So we're taking the show and putting it on the radio station.
That's amazing.
And playing their show. So if someone lives in Portland, Oregon, then I'm able to find a station out there. And it usually comes on at 6, 7 in the morning on a Sunday. It's a, and I try to put it on like a church station because, you know, Time to Shine today is about leveling people up and getting them going. There's really no belligerent talk on my show.
Yeah.
So it's a very clean show. And so I'm putting it on terrestrial radio. And so they're getting a lot of, you know, and Nielsen's really awesome. It used to be Arbitron ratings, now the Nielsen's ratings. You can actually see how many people are tuning into radio stations now.
Nice.
Where with Arbitron ratings, you weren't able to. So It's pretty cool to see, man, I had like 7,500 people listen to this show.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's pretty cool.
Getting it out there. That's incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
You know, why do you think podcasting is becoming so popular? What element of this do you think is really speaking to everybody? I mean, I know obviously we're speaking, but
right. Well, you know what? I had a blog in Time to Shine Today, but I'm not gonna lie to you, like a lot of my blog posts were ghostwritten, probably 60%. Mm. Unless it was something that's absolutely passionate to me, I didn't write it. I would hire somebody to write it, and they, you know, charge me a certain amount. So I'd have a blog post for $20, you know, that I'd pay somebody to write it, and it was great. Podcasting makes you be authentic. Genuine, you know, I'm always told I have a face for radio, so I have the voice for it also, you know. But no, I get, you know, podcasting, you can brand yourself and people can hear the passion come through. And if you don't have the passion, people are gonna see that and know it. So you could be writing a blog post, or like me not writing a blog post, and people don't know you. On a podcast, they're forced to know you. They know who you are. So my passion for it shines through on every single episode, and I want to make everybody shine, and that's what podcasting allows you to do, is you shine and you can make other people shine, and that's awesome. It's fantastic.
That's really cool. I agree with you. I had a someone gave me the idea. I was listening to a podcast where they mentioned that we're in a unique time period where, because we all are able, if we take the initiative to set something like this up, to speak our minds, talk about what, have interviews, that in terms of fact checking, you know, that maybe things aren't fact checked and people just say whatever. And I had, I had been speaking with someone where I just randomly came up in my mind with, I believe 90% of this is probably going on. And after I'd said it, I thought, where did I get that number from? Like,
you got to watch what you say, really.
And now I'm finding the accountability aspect is really important. Right. And the element of speaking truth, or at least doing our research, doing our homework. Do you have a formula in your mind when you're speaking that you try to hold as your like ethical guideline when you are interviewing people to make sure we don't spread disinformation, so to speak?
I stay away from, like, my squad knows that I'm a man of faith, okay? So they know it, but I don't push it ever. I don't talk politics ever on my show. It's just, one, I'm a real estate agent also, and if you do say what side you are on, they can really hurt, you know, my day job. And frankly, it's, we live in, to me, the best country where we have choices, period. Because trust me, I've been to Somalia, I've been to Iraq, you know, Fallujah. I've been to other places where we have that choice, but I really hold my guests accountable by, I send them over a kind of podcast interview flow where they know what's going to be coming. At least they think they do. Then I take them off into the rabbit hole on my own, you know? So, which keeps them accountable, you know, they're not going to you know, you're not going to lie. Like, I was a fake it till you make it guy when I was growing up. You know, I would not only lie to myself to change my subconscious, which I'm okay with that. Like, you want to tell yourself you're this so you can get there. But don't tell other people what you haven't did yet, you know. And, like, a lot of people will come on, and I've caught some people, you know, on some fabrications and stuff like that. And I worked around it, and I would call them afterwards and say, listen, is this really true? Because I'm going to put this out and you're going to get 10 to 12,000 people listening to it, and they're going to fact check you. And we're, you can't, you know, in this day and age with social media and all that other stuff, you don't know. And they're like, well, you know, and a couple of them, to their credit, they said, no, could you remove it? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. I don't, I just don't judge people, man. You know, I might not do business with them,
give the opportunity, but I'm not going to judge them. To make it right.
Yeah, or, I give them that opportunity. Honest. So there's, I do hold them, you know, accountable, you know, and that's part of my, one of my entrance jobs is to really do the due diligence on the person to see if what they said is true.
That's important. You know? There's a big responsibility there.
Yeah, I hear you. You know,
how important is the voice inside your head that either coaches you to feel positive and or feeds you negative negative reinforcement? How do you keep it in the positive realm?
You know what? When I... What I do is I have a breathing exercises, to be honest with you, which are not quite as ballistic as pranayama like you teach. Trust me, I've been on one of your Tuesday morning things. And, you know, but what I do is I really breathe, you know, breathe in, you know, calm and breathe out. And I have PAFO, I call it. I know it's weird. It's a weird acronym, but I breathe out pain. You know, I breathe out anxiety. That's the A. I bring out, breathe out fear of success. And I breathe out overwhelm. So that's the PAFO. So I do it, and it's a breathing exercise to keep, like, I would say to myself and say to others, I'm not afraid. I'm not this, I'm not that, but I, my bank account didn't show it. you know, I was afraid of success for so long because I had attained monetary success in my 20s, a lot of money. And then, like I said, you know, I got put in check and lost it. But I was afraid that I can't get there doing it the right way. Not to say I stole or anything, but I was preying on other people's misfortunes. They were losing their house, and I would swoop in and pick it up, and they get nothing for it. So I don't, now I don't think negative much at all. And when I do, I sit down, it takes 3 minutes, I do a breathing exercise, and it's gone. Like, I've trained the brain to do that. And with Ashtanga, it's five breaths per asana, per pose, which helps me out, you know. And, you know, I probably do 50 down dogs a day, man. You know, like, you know I didn't say the right, you know, asana name, but I do probably, and I'm not lying. You can ask Susan. She'll be like, he's sitting in front, we'll be watching a freaking Netflix, and he'll be doing his breathing exercise while I'm doing it, because it just, I don't know, it straightens out my neck, you know, puts in great posture. But I just don't have negative, man. And I don't take anything seriously unless it has to do with someone's hurt me or my family or my friends that I'm very close to. I take nothing seriously. And, you know, one of the most underrated comedy movies, it was called Van Wilder. It has Ryan Reynolds in it. It's one of his younger movies. I think the year was 99 or 2000. But he said, don't take life too seriously. You'll never make it out alive. Once I started, I actually live that now. So I don't, I'm always joking. I'm always vibrant. I'm always human. And sometimes you rub people the wrong way, and I get it, and I will apologize to them. But I also live in the duality, Todd, that, you know, as long as I haven't hurt you or disrespect you, I could give two flying, you know, what's about what you think of me. I just don't care. You know, because I don't take life too seriously. And the other side of the duality of that is I want to serve as many people as I possibly can. Period. So to answer your question, I don't get negative too much ever. You know, if you have a death in the family or an accident that happens to someone you love or something, I can get pretty emotional. But that, no, I don't. I have a pet peeve, and it's customer service. I hate bad customer service, and I will let it be known. You know, whether it's in a restaurant or somewhere else. You know, but other than that, man, I don't take anything seriously.
That's cool, man. I hear you. That's got, it's so important these days to really keep awareness of what sort of messaging we're giving ourselves, right, and to keep that positive. So that's cool that you've been able to really turn that in a real positive way. Yeah. Like you said, I mean, I can be watching a film, a Netflix film, and get that wave of like emotion that'll come up. Mm-hmm. And I haven't busted out a down dog during yet, in which case Tamara probably wouldn't, she probably wouldn't think it's all that odd, but
Susan's like, what are you doing? I'm like, join me. We can listen. No.
That's right. No, it's kind of cool though. I mean, that's something I think a lot of people, they come to the yoga practice or the class and you think, I do my yoga when I come into the room, and if we can implement a couple deep breaths in the heat of the moment when we hit the brakes on the car really fast, or a downward dog during a movie where we feel like, hey, my back's killing me. Yeah. I need to stretch something out.
Absolutely.
And make it really practical on a moment by moment basis. Right. Then I think we're tapping into what it's all about.
Right. And yoga is so important. An integral part of my being now that, you know, and I used to worry, like I used to even talk to you about this and used to be like, Scott, just slow your roll. You'll be fine. Like I want to progress through, get through primary and you know, go to the secondary. And it was just, then I was like, you know what? I'm hurting myself trying to get there. Mm-hmm. No, you never know. I mean, my body might just start regulating a certain way. Do I make it all the way through primary, which should be fantastic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I live my life through what my mentor told me is like inch by inch, it's a cinch. By the yard, it's hard. You know what I'm saying? So I do everything inch by inch, you know, and that goes with podcasting, man. I remember rolling up my first show and I listened to it now and I'm like, wow.
I've learned something.
Yeah. And it's just, but inch by inch is a cinch. I mean, I still haven't even... You know, like we just got, you know, something in our email and the physical mail that we're in the top 100 now across the category of coaching and personal development podcast, top 100. So number one is Tony Robbins. Yep. So to be in that, we did something to get there. Now I'm not like, man, I want to be top 10. I mean, yes, egotistically inside, absolutely. But the only way that I get there is if I continue to serve others. Yep. And help people.
You gave me some great advice the other day when I was asking you for some pointers, and you'd said, just don't stop. Just keep doing it. Yeah. And it's funny because I was on a good little roll where I was putting out a podcast every week, and then I just stopped for a week. And
did someone reach out to you?
No, I think, you know, when I analyzed where I was, what was going on at the time, I was just like, I need to take a little break.
Right.
However, now I'm like, no, I got to keep pushing forward. And it's amazing. I think you're right. Just keep putting the content out, even if I'm, you know, wondering if it's the best or, you know, that sort of thing. But I also liked what you had to say about just, I think we could have a conversation with any single person that could come up off the street. If we can somehow find a way to relate and come to some sort of common ground, that all of us have a story to tell. Every single human on this planet has a deep, rich life experience, and finding that, figuring that out, and how to, where we can communicate. On that note, you know, election time is 1 week away, and I also choose not to go into politics on purpose. But it's been a very interesting time period in the world, I'd say, not just America. The whole world is going through shutdowns, going through social distancing, going through coming to terms with all these different elements in society. How are you feeling? Are you feeling positive for the future? What's going on for you with all this stuff that's happening?
Well, I mean, I've not had this good of year in probably 10 years because of podcasting. And, you know, luckily I'm in an industry, real estate, which is essential. So with basically free money, with the rates being low, you know, I've closed more this year than in the four previous years I've been here.
Wow.
And it's crazy, you know. I mean, prices are going up just because, you know, I affectionately call South Florida, where I live, my version of paradise. I affectionately call it heaven's waiting room. You know, people come here, you know, there's 10,000 people a day are turning 65 in this nation. So they're done working and they're coming here. So in mine and yours lifetime, Todd, Florida will never hit a recession unless something catastrophic happens and everybody's done. But COVID was the great equalizer, meaning it doesn't matter. You know, I live close to Bob Berg, you know, the guy that wrote The Go-Giver, right? And, you know, he's worth multi-millions. But he still couldn't go out just like me and just like the guy down the street and order a steak and be asked, how do you want a steak done for that probably good 45, 50 days, you know, between March and May, March, April, May. So 60 some days. He still, so there was a great equalizer. But I've also been through 08, 09 when the market crashed. So, and I said out myself, no matter what happens, I will always be prepared for it. Now, I didn't know I was getting prepared for a pandemic. But I'll tell you what, I just looked at it and said, man, there's opportunity here. Yeah. And I'm going to take advantage of helping as many people as I can during this opportunity. I'm going to get mine, you know, monetarily wise. So during this time, I enjoyed it. I really did. It gave me time to catch up on my binge watch. I'm kidding. But I did, though. I'm not going to lie to you, because when it's just so much time, you next thing you know, you're like, me and the lady were like, let's throw on a Dexter. Throw on another one. Since we didn't really have to work the next day, we did. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and say, but I also, you know, I always have five books going at once. I read 10 pages out of each book a day, and I keep, you know, circling them through. But also to follow up on your question of the future, I think it's bright. I mean, there's going to be, you know, everybody, there's so much discourse in the country that's caused by a lot of different factors, but we're all our own person. So how we look at things will determine, you know, my mentor said, what you think is real is your reality. You know what I'm saying? So it just depends. Like, I understand what the news is saying or what the media is saying, but what I feel is my reality is what I'm going to go with. And I really wish other people would do the same. I really wish they'd say, listen, man, my reality is I'm a human being, you know, not a human doing, you know, be human, you know, be kind to people and then see where you can help somebody. If everyone did that, it'd be great. I mean, of course it's never going to happen, but with the time to shine today, I can take that little 1 billionth of 1% and know that my squad is doing that. And that's, to me, I think it's bright.
That's huge. Good. I agree with you. It takes a lot of willpower to go through what perceivably coulda, should be dark and you know, not positive, and and actually say, look, I'm gonna turn this in the direction and try to do the best I can with my health. On a daily basis, do everything I possibly can to stay, you know, drinking lots of water, getting plenty of exercise, practice some deep breathing, get some sunshine, eat really well,
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of factors here that I think, that's cool, man. I appreciate that. I feel like right now being positive, inspiring each other to be positive is like the most important thing we can do.
I mean, if the country goes into shutdown again, it'll be a challenge. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I do find myself, I may sound like I come off, but I get my depressed times, but I also have my go-to people be like, man, I'm feeling this way. I'm doing this way. And they'll be like, Fergie, okay, this is what we're going to do. But if we do, I mean, I'll be prepared, financially. Thank God, my God, that I put myself in a position where I will be fine. I can carry it for a year if I have to. But I don't want to, but I will. I just feel more sorry for people that don't level up on a daily basis because, again, you know, the suicide prevention lifeline is huge, you know? It's like, that's another reason is, you know, people are, you know, taking their lives during this time just because they don't have somebody there to help them out with that. You know?
That's something when you mentioned your brother and having the close aspect of a family member who has gone that way. I got a little bit of a head start, but there's an organization called No Shave November or Movember, which is all about fundraising for men's health and or really mental health is a really big piece right now.
Funny story about that from you. It's like when I first met you, remember it was like November 14th.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and you were like grown out. I'm like, what is this Fu Manchu? And then like 2 weeks later after Thanksgiving, I come in, you're all like clean shaven, baby faced. And I'm like, what's going on? And then you explained it to me and stuff. So,
yeah.
But,
part of the idea is to like, we have to do things to help encourage each other.
Sure.
I mean, it's not just a male female thing, like, come on, men. But I think sometimes maybe men wear this hard exterior of like, don't wear your heart on your sleeve, don't show your feelings, don't show your thoughts. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it creates a closed-in situation. And so I really like the fact that what you're pointing out, that there is somebody for everybody. There's someone that can help. And that's where I really want all of you listening will take the time to check out timetoshinetoday.com. And let's attempt to really work to stay positive together, because we have a bright future. We have bright future, right?
Yeah, it is. And the future is what we make it. You know, and just don't be afraid to succeed. And it doesn't, I'm not talking money wise. I'm talking about succeed with your health.
Yep.
Succeed with making amends with family members, making amends with people of your past that you don't be afraid of it. You know, my good friend Berta Medina says, you know, do it scared. Yep. I mean, that's what I do. I do I do something every day that's going to scare the crap out of me. And it doesn't mean I have to go play in traffic.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I could be reaching out to somebody, you know, that I respect a lot. That can scare you, you know, you know, going deeper into a yoga asana, that can scare you, you know, do something every day that's going to do it. Cause the worst that can happen is not die. As long as you don't die, it doesn't matter. That's the way I look at it, you know?
Good point. And,
you know, yeah, absolutely. But you know, again, if anyone's out there listening, like I'm a testament for yoga, and especially Ashtanga yoga, man. You got to give it a try, you know? And I'm sure if you're not in South Florida, Todd's building his network up of yoga instructors across the United States, because I know we talked about that, and that you can put him in touch with somebody, man. So,
well, thank you, Scott. Yeah. I appreciate that. One final question, and this is one that you asked me. Mm-hmm. What do you want to leave as your legacy?
I want to be so outdated, but then they date it to me. Meaning, like, if you look and see what Edison did, right? No one would look at Edison and go, okay, like, he's in, you know, he did a lot. Him and Tesla did a lot for electricity, right? But what we have going on today is so far ahead of them, but we still remember them. I want to be the person, and I will be the person, that has helped as many people as they can level up and help organizations level up and, you know, do that. But when they look back, it's going to be like, that's so outdated, but we couldn't have got here without that. Mm. That's my legacy. Mm. So I want to give to where I just become outdated and obsolete.
Nice.
Period.
Nice.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I thank you for asking me that, because I asked that question and I never have answered it. Okay. I asked it for 150 episodes right now. You know what I'm saying? And I never been asked it, and I appreciate asking it, but I always thought, how would I answer that question? Mm. That's it. It's like, what I'm doing now, I want to be helping, but be so obsolete. You know, I want, you know, there's going to come a time when people can think of what they need and someone's going to pop up in their glasses. Yeah. This is the person you need to talk to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But because of Time to Shine today's little sliver, we're able now to put people through utilizing technology
that
we have now.
Yeah.
You know, in the future, you know, we're just going to be obsolete, but that's okay. I was part of it, and that's my legacy. You know, and I want to live it every day too.
That's awesome, you know? Scott. Man, I'm really excited that you came in.
I'm stoked, man. I'm privy. Wow.
I have to admit, I love doing the podcast. I often do them. I've been doing them only over the phone, just because, you know, distance, location, social distance, all that great stuff. To have the chance,
we're 6 feet apart.
We're 6 feet apart. We got our microphones spread out. I'll even snap a picture here at the end and share it with you guys.
You got to lean forward, Todd, while we're still on the air. Get a little bit of sun. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. And
this has been so much fun.
Well, it's cool, man. Thanks so much for dropping in. And I really look forward to watching your career continue to blossom. And we'll keep doing a couple down dogs, either virtually and or in person and or through the Netflix stream. The next time I watch a Netflix movie, I'm going to bust one out.
That's awesome, brother.
Awesome.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll catch up soon.
Talk soon.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Native Yoga Toddcast. We really appreciate it and we hope you enjoyed. Remember that if you'd like to learn more about upcoming classes, workshops, teacher trainings, and our online yoga studio, all of which you can access at nativeyogacenter.com, your support is greatly appreciated. Have a wonderful day.